want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 449, recorded live on April 27th, 2016. I'm your host, Ted Hart Hat, with
Scott Burt.
Tilesportist 27 with
G-Man San.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. Also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on our Patreon logo on our website to help keep our podcast going. From all of us at the Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. Well, hey, we've got special guests up the whole yin-yang here, which is awesome. I love that. Whoa.
A yin-yang? What's a yin-yang?
It's your yin and yang in slang term. See, I wanted to do this and hit the wrong button. So this is, like I said, I'm just going to go with the flow tonight. It's not even one of those things. So, yeah, we have a special guest. We have good old friend Jerry, and we also have another special guest. Oh, what's his name? Scott.
I'm a special guest, really?
Well, yeah, kind of, because you've been like gone for a while. not Corey gone.
Right, yeah, I was gonna say, like, you got Corey, who hasn't been seen, since like what? Since like October.
I think his ice chipping business is just booming so well that from all the folks
of him. I actually lucked out here. It's currently raining really bad in Chicago, so my kid's game got rained out.
Wow.
So I was able to attend tonight's show. Yes.
That's awesome, though. We're glad to have you on. We're
In the midst of Little League season here. So.
Oh, yeah. We were just going over the schedule that Scott has besides his normal diva-type things that he wants for the show, green M&Ms and such.
Right.
But, yeah, it's pretty awesome to have Mr. Scott back. And I'll tell you what, we had a lot of people talking, as much as how great it was hearing Daryl to come back. But I think we're going to have to do a show with all of us.
Yeah, I miss Daryl.
Yeah.
You have a show without me with Daryl.
And it started getting, and no offense to Taz, because Taz is like a genius anyways when it comes to technology. But Daryl just brings it to a new level when it comes to technology.
Yeah, he brings the nerd in full force.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah, and it's like, I even had to dig up. Where do I have it here? I've got it in front of me. We used to do things with signs. When we were doing stuff, I actually had to bring this out for the Geekometer for Mr. Daryl for coming on. Yeah, so it was automatic.
He definitely brings the nerd. Yeah, God bless him. God bless him.
He was making me jealous with all of his toys.
Oh yes,
I miss being on. It's always good to be here.
Oh, yeah.
And when I'm not here, I miss it. So
I know it. It's amazing how it gets under your skin. Because, I mean, look at it. We're at 449. Yeah. I mean, we're already on the other upswing for 500 now.
That's
it's
crazy.
Like, geez. All right. So let's see. It's raining in Chicago. It's hot here down in North Kakalaki. We have been right around 90 degrees. And you can tell that the summer switch has been flipped because the wind went bye-bye. So it's now getting into that wonderful time of year with summer. And, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But I did get out and get some parking grabs, which was cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good stuff. How about yourself, Scott? What have you been up to besides watching your wonderful children go out and play baseball?
Oh, Lord, work and... The kids, obviously, I always have time to cash, so we got some cash. Jesse and I went out last weekend. Was it? I think it was last weekend. We literally had a day. In a day. And I was sick, but I didn't care.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those, like, I hadn't been out in a while, and I was sick, but like I had a bad cold. I just got over. And I didn't care. I'm like, let's, as long as, you know, I'm not walking, as long as I'm not hiking 10 miles, I'll go out. So we went and did, there's a series near us that came out a couple of months ago. So we were waiting for spring for that. So we did a nice little chunk of that. Had a good time.
That's awesome.
That's about it, though. I mean, it's honestly, it's been baseball and kids and crazy. And
you know, it's so amazing how life gets in and interferes with geocaching.
Yeah,
like
I mean, I definitely try. I put a really, really FU hideout in Buffalo Grove a couple of weeks ago. And it's such a cruel hide. And nobody's gotten it. It still has not been found. A bunch of DNFs on it, but it has not been found yet. And I made it a one and a half, but it's clearly not.
You know, I shouldn't tell you this yet because Scott's hard enough to work with as it is, let alone if he starts hearing anything cool. I actually am going to put a Scott Burks FU hide out. My first absolute FU hide. It's the one with the little sprig of artificial grass on top of one of those little blood outlet tubes.
Right, appreciate the FU hide.
Yes, and I've been thinking about this seriously for about a past week, and I'm going, you know, Scott hasn't been around. You know, I really have to put out an FU hide just in honor. So, yeah that'll be coming out.
Has yet to be found.
Wow.
Has not been found.
So it'll be interesting. I'm gonna see how many, and then I'm just gonna blame you and send them your email when they complain about it.
And then my trackable to Mark still has not moved. It got taken out of the Great Space Coaster, and then hasn't moved at all.
Wow.
So whoever's got it, it's still in some cache somewhere.
That one that was from Munich, that puppy's moving all over the place.
Really, mine's like. God, this is why I don't do this, guys. This is exactly why I don't do this.
You get invested.
You know, I bitched about it for years, and yes. Then I'm like, oh, you know, I got this. I got a free one. I'll put it out. It's not moving. This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is the frustration with Travel Bucks.
Yes.
So I don't even know where it is. I think it's sitting in the cache, but I know I'm going to get a, it's not there, you know, soon enough. I'm going to get a that kind of report. I'm waiting for that, you know.
Little Fufu thought it was the best toy that it ever had.
Drives me crazy.
Yes.
Crazy.
Luckily,
people don't listen to me and they still put out trackables, so they're still out.
Yes,
there.
And maybe what do we tell them?
Maybe it's just mine to get thrown away.
Don't get invested. Once it hits the wild, you're dealing with people.
You're dealing with heartache.
Mr. Taz, how about yourself, sir?
I've been busy. The busiest I've been since I tweaked my knee back in September, so... I took my teammates out, five of my teammates out on a little adventure on Thursday. We went to a park not too far from work, and we found five caches, and including one that was a puzzle cache, and managed to solve. And the night before, I was like, okay, there's a puzzle here. It's like, it's probably in the park, and I bet I know her in the general area, but. Let's solve it. So I got it solved and took them out there, and you know, they had a great time. Had several of them make the finds. Yeah, I spotted a few of them ahead of time, but you know, kept my yacht shut and so I stepped back and let them find them, and they had a pretty good find, a pretty good time with a couple of them with 20 and 30 favorite points. So that was pretty good. And then a multi-cache popped in my neighborhood the next day, so Friday, and so I someone DNF'd it earlier that day, and it's like, I'm leaving work a little bit early up at 3:30, and went and FTF'd that multi-cache, so that was pretty cool. And awesome. Then Sunday, had to get my CETO on, so I went to an event in a CETO, and about 40 of us out there cleaning up the park, and someone put a Where I Go out there. You know, of course, a bunch of us doing the Where I Go. Get to the end, the Where I Go's 30 feet up in the air in a tree. You can't really climb. Well, enough of us geocachers there. Someone had to have a extension pole that was long enough, and we managed to get that sucker out of there and sign the log. And then later that afternoon, my son wanted to go to the bike park and so I took him to the bike park, and of course I'm going to run around and grab caches in the area.
Oh, yeah.
And as I'm picking up the last one that I intend to pick up, about 100 feet away from it, my son texts me, say, "We're ready to go. Where are you at?"
Oh, geez. It's
like, and it's like, yeah, you're going to have to wait.
That's the
way it should be. Absolutely.
But, yeah, and there were a couple of the puzzle caches that I found that were FU hides. There was a rock in a field of rocks and briars that had the cache drilled into it, and there was the old stump, that fake stump with the twist off top.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, some pretty nice hides. Actually, that stump one was the one there at the end. And of course, the cache that is talking about take a seat. So something like hike or take a seat. And there's a couple park benches there. So I'm not looking at the friggin' park benches and stuff. And then, you know, finally I sat down and took a seat. And it's like, you know, there's a big-ass rock across the way. Let me go take a look around that big-ass rock. And there's the stump on the backside of the big-ass rock. That's I like awesome. Saying big-ass rock.
Yeah, that's more swears than I've done in
a month. I was going to say, we had to make up for lost time. Actually, that's what I would end up naming the darn cache. I mean, you know, come on.
Big-ass rock.
Big-ass rock. I miss that bell. All right. No, that's excellent. Good stuff. Jerry, I know you were just on Cache and Release earlier in the week. Did you get a chance to go out and do anything since then?
Not since then, but that morning I went out and got a bunch. Hit a little mini milestone of 1,900, so working my way towards 2,000 fines, so... Yeah, but had a good time with Michael and Gary. It was fun being on their podcast first time.
Oh yeah,
over there. So.
They're great guys, and hey, you drink beer. Come on. So I'm just saying.
Tonight I have Corona Extra. It's from.
It's got an 18,000 ABU. I think it won an award,
but I'm not sure. But it says la cerveza más. Fina.
My buzzo meter went off the scale when I did that one. Yeah.
You see, I'm drinking this much.
We love you guys. You know it. All right, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And what's coming up this week. See, I had Daryl do this part. I got to actually breathe for half a second, but since he's not here, GeoGearheads episode 226, it's another randomized show. They're up in the triple Roman digits. I'm not even going to try anymore. Chris, Dave DeBearmaker, and Daryl Wattenberg talk about several smaller geocaching topics for this episode. Way to be verbose, Daryl. Let's see. Yep.
For the record, I'm not even like even on the show for the next like 2 months.
Wow. Because you're like the cast of the Love Boat that shows up.
I know.
The rotating actors that kept showing up.
I'm like the Charo of the show.
Coochie, coochie. All right. Does that bring back some nostalgia?
Oh. There you go. For anybody over 40,
they're going to go, what?
Laughing at that joke.
Captain Stooping My Butt. Anyways, Gia Snippets Reboot Podcast. Wife Amy and I, if she can still talk, she's had a sinus infection for like the past 2 weeks, and she sounds like if Beaker could do Lauren McCall. That would and I love making fun for her, so she will take it out on me eventually when she's better. But we're going to be talking about geocaching safety tips, and we'll talk about that because that's some of the stuff we're going to be talking about tonight.
Yeah, someone needed some safety tips.
Somebody needed some safety tips. So anyways, that'll be tomorrow on the GeoSnippets Reboot Podcast. Be sure to check that out. And then finally, please consider becoming a patron to our show. You guys are literally what keeps this show going each and every week. Just go over to geocachingpodcast.com and click on our Patreon or our PayPal logos and throw us a couple bucks each month. We would greatly appreciate it. And like I said, we have thousands of viewers and listeners each and every week, and relatively few people that are actually contributing to help keep us going. And we need, quite frankly, all the help we can. So send us money. All right. Anyways, thank you so much for the patrons that we do have. And check it out on the website. Awesome, awesome stuff. Tonight we have episode 449, Geocaching in the News. We are not necessarily the big news kind of podcast. We do it every once in a while, and it's been a while since we did it, mainly because I was sent several different articles from our viewers and listeners, and I thought, why not? Let's just see what we can find, what's going on in the news. And believe it or not, we're not going to talk about a bomb scare tonight. Yay! I'm just saying. I mean, those little golden nuggets come out as enough as they are, but we are going to start off with, and I'm just going to give you the title to this, and then we can go into this and just discuss whatever comes up. Volunteers find human remains in Cooper River during spring cleanup in Penshookan.
That's just a great story.
This man. Is something. Why does this not show up more often? We go geocachers.
Jersey.
Jersey. It's in Jersey, for crying out loud. Somebody missed a payment. I mean, you know, we make light, and, you know, shoot us, write hate mail to Scott Burks at geocachingpodcast.com. But when you go out for a CETO event, and I want to thank Michael Logan, who actually sent this article to me. Apparently, the CETO event was held by a local reviewer. And if you just for giggles and kicks want to look it up, it's GC60W3J.
Is there a skull and crossbones on there?
Well, it was poor a, it was no, we're gonna there, it's, you can't help it in this one. It's a souvenir CETO. So I'm just saying, let it just
they got a souvenir. All right.
I'm just gonna let it go right there because you know what's going on. It's a shame that they actually found this, but I am very, very surprised this doesn't happen more often because we go to these places all the time.
I think that's – was that the second time that's happened?
I mean, I don't remember another one.
One other time aside from that, and that's all I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
One other time.
Do you think there's a lot of dead bodies being dumped out there? I don't
know. It's Jersey, for crying out loud.
Okay, my question was, here's the thing that I took umbra with, if anything, was that the body was in the lake or in the river. They actually went into the river to get the bottle. Why would they go into the river? I mean, I have no problem going to CETOs. I don't put my hand in rivers to get the garbage. You know, I'll get the stuff near the road and the stuff along the path.
Right. So,
but going to the river and going in the river?
Maybe with a grabber or something and go that way.
Maybe it was like a kayak type event. I mean, I've done some kayak CETOs, so
yeah, because you pick up a lot of crap on the sides of any lake or river.
I mean, it's always go in the lake to get the garbage.
No, but yeah, this was something where somebody actually went and thought they were picking up a bottle, and it ended up being a human skull.
It was a head. Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently they. Yeah, and there was some extra bones around.
The question is, did he go meh, or was he like, guys, look?
Well, I don't know if I would wet myself first or what.
Yeah, I don't know how I would respond to that. Would I be like, this ain't real, right?
This, you know, yeah, this is a campy, yeah.
Yeah, I would think it would be fake.
Yeah.
Halloween like, is this prank a cash or something.
Did I hit a final? Did I hit a cash final?
Yes. The submerged sunken skull.
Just was hanging out there and never got picked up.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's. I mean, that's.
It's a tragic thing, and I'm sorry that this happens. But believe it or not, my folks, way long time ago, my folks were very big into rock hunts. We would go all over states and just go find different minerals and rocks and all that fun stuff. Near where we lived in New Baltimore, it was in the middle of winter. My mom and dad were just checking to see because a brand new subdivision was being built at that time, and she happened to see something that looked in the middle of one of the lots like a large granite or some type of mineral rock, and she said, go check to see that out because we've brought home half of the Upper Peninsula when it comes to rock hunting. So my dad goes out there to go check it out. It ended up being a body. And newsflash on the newspapers is rock hounds find body. Well, you know, and you know how they do with geocaching where they run off with a story like that. Yeah.
Sure.
But it does happen. But like I said, wow. I'm very surprised it does not, unless geocachers just reinvented into a geocache. I don't know. It's just interesting to see stuff like that happen.
Yeah, that's. I thought that was impressive that they found a body. As Jerry has said, that I'm surprised it doesn't happen more.
Yeah,
you know, as
it's amazing.
You'd think. I mean,
we go in places where a lot of times geocachers will find stuff that we're not supposed to technically find.
Like bodies usually isn't it. No. You know, that's the surrising part.
Yeah.
You know,
usually I think meth labs or something.
But... Yeah, it'll be a marijuana field or, you know.
Which could be dangerous enough.
Yes.
As crazy as that story is, I think the second story is a little more crazy to me personally.
Yeah, let's jump into that one.
Wait, before we get to that one, the irony of all this is we're talking about news, and I get something from Brian Lang on Twitter, as we're talking.
Uh-huh.
And it's I don't know if you can read this or not, another bomb threat.
Oh, gosh.
Stop using pipes for your geocache containers. It's newsradio1310.com. Somebody go to that and see if they can pull up the page.
Jeez. But
BUHL High School. BUHL High School.
Wow.
We got breaking news here. But we could beat cache release to it. Yes.
You know, that's how it goes.
From Brian Lang. Thanks, Brian Lang.
Thank you, Brian.
But how weird is that? Just as we're talking about, as you said, like, no bomb threats,
and there you go.
Came into my email. This came into my email.
Well, we can't have that.
Yeah, look at that. Look at the time I got the email. I got it. Hold on. Let's see if I can. 8:56. What time is it right now? No, 8:50. It's 8:56 right now. I got this six minutes ago. I got that email.
Okay, here we go. Twin Falls Times. Here you go, folks. Literally,
is that North Dakota or is that Idaho?
No, isn't that okay? Let's see what it has here.
Twin Falls has got to be North Dakota or Idaho.
Yeah, and let's see. Right from the news here, they did a soft lockdown and bomb sniffing dogs en route to from the Mountain Home Air Force Base. This is on an Air Force base on Wednesday, which be today. The Twin Falls Police Department's bomb squad used a high-pressured shot of water. I love it. To open what appeared to be an old pipe bomb.
Get out the hose! Can somebody get out the hose? We think there might be a bomb over. Get the dogs and get the hose. Please.
Yes, and not at the same time. 2 hours
the after sheet was wet.
Yeah. We're all going to hell. You know this is what it is. 2 hours after it was found by city crews on the edge of school property, which I do not like, the pipe burst open to reveal its true contents, a list of names and signatures and an old crumpled piece of paper.
Can I get a horn, please, on that one?
You may, sir.
Thank you so much.
No problem. The pipe bomb was nothing but a geocache container. There were names and signatures. Apparently a small one if all there was name and signatures. There was names and signatures of individuals who had located it back since 2011, said spokesman of the Twin Falls County Sheriff's Office. The most current name was posted on March 26th. And then they go into what's a geocache. Right. And then let's see.
Been there for 5 years.
Yes. Yeah. While finding
it's a bomb hidden in the woods.
Yes.
For 5 years.
As a banana. While finding a geocache can often be challenging and adventurous, the Bulls City crew stumbled upon the geocache by accident about 1:15 p.m. Wednesday while grading a parking lot on the south side of Sawtooth Avenue. They reported to the police because it looked like a pipe bomb. It looked so realistic, said Sergeant Bill Dietz. So the area where the pipe bomb was found was on school property, but far away from buildings, and there was never any threat to students.
But wait, is that a college or a high school?
Sounds like high school. But out of
high school campus,
precaution, students at the high school and middle school were kept in their classrooms until the bomb squad detonated the pipe with water. So yeah, great practice.
Well, the news would never exaggerate anything about how it was to a school.
Great practice.
Or did the article sound upset that it was just a geocache?
It was just a geocache. It wasn't like, you know, C4 or something. Great practice for Twin Falls Bomb Squad and a safe ending for us all. Well, there you go. Yes. Please do not.
We provide practice for the bomb squad.
That's our goal. You know?
Down. as best they could.
Wow. Yeah. So there you go, folks. Right off the presses, a.k.a. Scott Burks. Thank you, Brian Lang. Yes, that was – there you go. We can't write this stuff. I'm just saying. And Scott and I know it's because when you do, it haunts you for years.
There you go.
All right. Is that Anna Cortes, woman found alive after 5 days missing in the woods? Now, they give very little information about this.
Very little. You know, and I did research on it because it gave such literally little.
Nothing.
It gave bullet points. And so I tried to do some research, and I found nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
We have no, and I'm not even going to try to guess, but basically a woman who was a geocacher, 56 years old, was found after a tourist spotted her car near Baker Lake and alerted authorities. So she was in the woods for 5 days. And apparently okay. So, you know, there's a billion. I'm in my 50s now. I could go off in the woods and have any number of things happen. You know, let alone being hit by a tree like certain people I know came close to and other things. You never know. And if you bang your head, you trip, you fall, it can happen.
Right. And Baker Lake is in Cascades National Park. It's close to the Canadian border. And that's close to Mount Baker. Some pretty rough terrain there. So I would assume she had been going solo out there.
Yeah,
she was.
Yeah. Probably can get turned around really easily up there.
Oh yeah, big time.
Yeah, but that's like I say in my pack, I always carry a real compass.
Absolutely, yeah. You have a map of the area and a real compass, and you project.
Yeah. Always. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If anything,
she was just out there. I think she was just out there looking for one of Scott's FU hides.
Didn't want to
give up.
Hey, you know, anybody get turned around with that?
Or I'm dying.
So, just a little bit longer, I'm going to search.
So the general rule then, guys, at least know, bring a real compass and know which way the road is.
Yes.
Know which way civilization is. It's whether it's north or south or east, whatever. Just know, okay, I got to walk north. If I walk north, I'm eventually going to hit something.
Yeah. And tell somebody you're out. If you're going that far out into the boonies, tell somebody you're going that way.
Don't go into the boonies by yourself.
I'm just
without
saying.
Telling anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways. Okay,
well, you know what? She learned her lesson the hard way, didn't she?
Yeah. Well, it was like I remember not too long ago, what were the guys going to a wedding in Tennessee and got stuck overnight because their phone died and they were trying to do geocaching and just got lost? I mean, it happens. It happens.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, trust me. My phone's died. I got stuck with Toby, who's now 11, when Toby was 3. Me and Toby got stuck in the woods. My phone died, and we were in the middle of the woods. This is like this is my first 6 months of caching.
Right.
I didn't know anything. I was like, oh, Lord, the sun's going down. I'm like, that's not good. You know, and Toby's starting to cry because he's cold, and I'm like,
let's
go this way. You know, let's go this way. I mean, and I've told that story the next day. I went out and I bought a real compass. And it's always been in my bag ever since.
Yeah, I've had something similar with that and ended up projecting the right direction because, sun's to the left, that kind of thing, and ended up being probably almost 3/4 of a mile away from the head of the trail.
Oh, sure,
Just by pure luck.
Yeah.
So.
Sure.
Yeah, be careful when you're out there. Go ahead.
I've also gotten it where I got lost, but I used my compass and I got out of the woods to a road because I knew the road was north, so I went north. Sure, I was 0.6 away from my car.
Yep.
But I was not lost in the woods anymore.
Exactly, which is a great feeling when you actually have that. Okay, I really am lost. Now what?
Oh yeah, it's a scary feeling.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that Jerry can talk a little bit about here was also in the news. It was a simple geocache put out, but it was put out by Boy Scouts. And it's called the Troop 2 T2K Geocache. And Jerry just talked on cache and release about the Boy Scout merit badge and what it takes to do that. And I still say that should be a pre-requirement for any geocacher that starts, needs to follow those things before they can do anything. But
those requirements, they do build up. I mean, the first 6 requirements are all preparation and and thinking about geocaching and thinking about injuries and the types of creatures that you might find and different hazards and things like that. So it makes the kids think about, you know, what they can meet out there and how they can avoid problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I found that fascinating. I listened to that show, Jerry, mainly because you were on it. And just kidding, catching these guys. And I actually found it pretty fascinating that you have to wait six steps before you even, like, discuss geocaching. Yes. Before it's even discussed. Go find a cache. Yeah, I was like,
it's more about safety and orienteering. I was a merit badge counselor for the geocaching merit badge when my son was in the Scouts.
Yeah. And like you said, it's all preparation beforehand. And I think that should be a prime requirement for anybody that opens up the geocaching app.
Sure.
And go with it.
Oh, speaking of that, let me branch off that real quick. There's a couple of kids about 10 miles north of me, and Jesse. I put Jesse on the show. She'll rant like you won't believe. But
I don't know where she gets it from.
A couple of 10-year-olds, about 10 miles north of me, that he likes to push it live and then put the cache out.
Oh.
So me and Jesse, 1 o'clock in the morning. No shit. excuse my language. 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm in bed. In bed. I am. Jesse's asleep. And I tap her on the shoulder. The cache just went live. It's 10 miles away. Do you want to go for it? She's like, yeah. So we throw a coin out, go out there, and guess what?
No cache.
No
cache. Oh. Somebody would be pulled abruptly from their bedroom and...
But go then put it out right now.
I look at his other finds.
I don't want it out there.
And I look at his other finds, and it did the exact same thing on all of his other hides, too.
That's just where you need to learn how to do things right. And on a flip side with this, again, if you listen to Cash and Release, you'll get all this fun stuff, is the idea that you need to have a prepared schedule of maintenance for the following 6 months after you put out a geocache.
That sounded like way too much work. The whole like 6-step foreplay, and then I got to do it for 6 months. That's just like way too much work. I would have been like, if I was a Boy Scout, I'd be like, you know what? Forget it. I'll just do like the public speaking.
I'll do public speaking, or I'll do basket weaving. One of them. Come on. Oh, interesting stuff. But it is good to see that the troops are actually putting out geocaches with that.
They are. I know they do it. Yeah. I mean, we've got a ton of cash attached to Eagles around here, So I see that they're doing it. Yeah, they actually do it.
Catch the Eagles, I think, is a great idea because it really allows the scouts to showcase the service back to the community.
Yes.
Which I think is a great part of scouting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I did the one that's in my area. I have the patch on my caching bed, and, you know, I did all 12 and got the patch. And some of them were really cool, the ones that I saw. Yeah, years ago. I did it about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, but we're out there using a lot of the things that the scouts do as part of their Eagle projects. The trails that they've cleared, the boardwalks and the bridges that they've built.
Mm-hmm.
It's really we use it all the time. It's we're out on the trails. It's part of it.
No,
so the ability that they for that cache to Eagle ability that they have to go out and showcase that and say, okay, here, geocaching community, this is what the scouts did for you. I think it's a great thing.
Well, it gets them out of their shell, too, when it comes to, like you said, with public speaking, with having to come up with the – and this isn't like a three-board bridge. They're making full-scale walking bridges out of this and having to go and get the materials and come up with the plan of how it needs to be made. This has to be decoded. I mean, there's a lot of things that they have to do do this, and for – young adults like that to be able to go through that is a heck of a learning experience.
No. Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm. Now if they don't let Jews in, everything will be
fine. Here we go. All right, here we are. Moving on.
There you go.
I had to fit that one in there.
Man.
Jew Scouts, right?
All right, where's my other sign? I got to find it. Hang on. No, not the one that says shoot me.
I was going to say the one that has, where's the no Jews sign?
Oh, man. I got the other one right here. Which is it? Here we are. Not responsible for host comment. So I'm just saying.
There's always that South Park episode where they talk about the Jew Scouts.
Right? No Jews and Boy Scouts.
And I was a scout myself, so it's like, yeah, all right, good stuff. Mm-hmm. We can take it. I won't even bring up jamborees.
Imagine I was not.
We'll leave it right there. So anyways, the last thing that I've got on here is something that came out of the geocaching blog. I didn't get a whole lot of sense of where they actually just kind of let's just say what it is, and then you can see what it is, because we'll have the links in the show notes and that. It's Get Inspired with These Four Geocaching Lists, and it was actually a very good idea to do this. We love lists. We love making bucket lists for things that we want to take care of, especially in geocaching, of things that we want to go through and see. And some of the things that they broke down on this was... let's see, they've got geocaching greatest hits. They've got geocaches with amazing views. I actually would love to do that. Five dreamy beaches. Okay. Five dreamy beaches with awesome geocaches. And then seven earth caches on seven continents. And they've got lists for how to hit into somebody. So just looking at it, like the geocaching greatest hits, there's only five in here, but guess the one that they've got in there that's dead smack in the middle?
What?
Mingo.
Oh, Mingo. Which one is that in?
Right, that's the geocaching greatest hits. They've got Earth Cache.
Wait, is Beverly in the geocaching greatest hits?
No. I don't see it. So that's what I mean. I don't know what they use for criteria to come up with these lists.
What's in it? What's in the greatest hits one?
Some of the most famous must-find.
Hold on, Taz, what's in it?
They're all over the world, too. So.
Mingo, the headquarters. Yeah.
The original stash plaque, the one down in Brazil, the Project Ape Cache.
So it's the big boy. So it's the top five.
Yeah.
I've done three of the five.
I know that's impressive. I've done one out of the five.
That is cool. So I mean, you know, and it's cool stuff. Now the ones that I thought were interesting with the amazing views, and there's like four of them in here. The Arctic Circle Trail. That sounds like you're going to get a good view out of that.
this sounds like a good view.
Is it actually in the Arctic Circle? I'm looking it up as we speak. It is in Greenland.
Yeah.
And you're I'm sure you are going to get it.
You're probably going to get it.
Wow.
Yes, it's above the line, so it's in the Arctic Circle.
All right.
It counts.
Let's see. Chimney Top Cache. This one is in West Virginia. I might go for that one. It's a four and a half.
Wait, did you say Chimney Top Cache?
Yeah, Chimney Top Cache. And it's along the North Fork Mountain Trail, and which has been considered to be the most scenic trail in West Virginia outside of by Outside Magazine and others. Hmm. So, and are they pictures? Okay. So they do have pictures. Yeah, that is kind of neat. That's pretty stuff. So we'll have the show notes that you can check this out, or go to the geocaching blog either way, and they've got some of the pictures of those. So I mean, you know, that would be. I would love to see stuff with amazing views. Now, where have I heard of Petra before? I know it besides the band.
It's in Jordan.
Uh huh.
On the Dead Sea. So it's the Indiana Jones.
That's what it was. Yes, the carved into the side right. of the mountain, which used to be a marketplace way long time ago.
Yeah. I was there once.
That would be...
Of course.
Damn, it's like talking to DeBearMaker. It's like, really?
Right. Like, yeah, I've been there. I built it, actually. Yeah,
I helped chisel. No. You see that third window over there? I did that.
Not quite that good.
I got to get another sign made here. All right.
One of them was the San Michael Island, which is off of Ireland, where it was in that scene from
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens,
yeah.
Wow. So that was one of them too.
I am not climbing those steps.
Is there a cache on that island? There's like actually.
I think it's an earth cache. It might be one of the earth caches.
Just an earth cache? I mean, because you got to take like a boat and stuff there. Why would you take a boat?
And then climb 7,000 steps.
I know. Shoot, man. I'd rather just like, you know.
Bring a lunch.
Yeah, my wife, when we watched the movie, my wife's like, where is that?
And it's like Skellig Island, right?
And you know, I was like, I think it's off of Ireland, Skellig but I'm not sure, so I had to go research it.
Yeah, Skellig Island.
Wow. That is something.
That's something you like armchair from the boat. Like, I ain't walking up 7,000
Here, take my camera. Take a picture, would you? Don't make it a selfie. Just take a picture.
And if you're a Jedi, you're not winded at all at the top.
Not even breaking a sweat.
Jeez. Just like, yeah. Wow. And then on the top will be a kid selling Coke and Pepsi for $50 a can. All right. Another one they have is Dreamy Beach geocaches. So those are kind of neat. Different ones that are in. And I like looking at all the distance, like, you know, 1,600 miles south, 6,000 miles northeast. 9,000 north. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. So it's, okay, Nahihorn Beach. Nahihorn? Where is it? Thailand. No wonder I can't see.
Thailand, man.
Yeah. Pretty. Jeez, they've got a picture on there.
Taz has been there.
I was going to say, see that speck right there? That's Taz. It's right there. You can't miss it. I think he's still holding.
I don't think I've been to any of these. I was hoping to see the one at Castaway Key, because that one's a pretty nice beach.
I don't know. This one here, it looks like you still have the ape cache under your arm. I'm just saying.
Is it a nude beach, Taz?
No. It's a Disney beach.
There's no nudity on Disney beach.
I was going to say. No. Wow.
Probably not.
Even Mickey wears pants.
Thanks.
I got to cover my junk.
Watch the tail.
Ding, ding.
Anyways, like I said, besides going to hell, Disney's going to sue us now. 7 Earth caches on 7 continents. Very nice. Deception Island.
Ooh, where's that? That sounds fun.
Antarctica. Good luck getting there because the penguins are going to attack you.
Deception Island.
Yes.
I've never been to Antarctica.
Nor Deception Island is what you're saying? No?
No.
No?
So Daryl has been attacked by penguins, so I'm just saying.
Chad Courtney named this. He named this Deception Island years ago.
They turned it into a movie after the book. Wow. Yeah, pretty. Nice. So these are all great bucket lists for people to sit there and say, you know what, if I'm going to travel, I'm going to geocache and do it right. This is a good way to go.
Yep.
Excellent stuff.
Deception Island added to my must-do list.
Yes. Via Chad. Wow. All right, so good stuff. Guys, got any other news breaks coming in since we had the hot one? And then
that's all I got from Brylang.
All right, so we even had a pipe bomb cache in there. So.
Well, that's literally all I got. Yeah.
Wow. Excellent.
Did you guys see the update to the challenge cache moratorium that came out?
No, yeah, did they actually bring it out yet? I did not see it.
Yeah, they just gave an update. I have it here if you want me to read it.
Yeah, right? Go for it. Sure. We got a couple minutes.
It says, Geocaching HQ is nearly ready to announce the end of the moratorium on challenge cache submissions.
Mm-hmm.
However, a few details remain to be addressed. We will complete the process
and present
an updated framework for challenge caches within the next few weeks. In the meantime, we want to share a few details about one key aspect of the new framework. All future challenge caches must include a web-based challenge checker. At this time, Project GC is the only website approved to host challenge checkers.
Interesting.
This is one of the changes we're implementing based on feedback from community surveys. We hope the challenge checkers will make it easier for players to determine their qualifications for challenge caches. Additional details are available at the website they gave. When everything's complete, for challenge caches is ready, we'll share that information via the newsletter and the blog.
I don't think that's unrealistic. I mean, for challenge caches, I really don't think that's unrealistic because it's so easy to juxtapose a coordinate, and then you're off into left field someplace and not even getting close, and to be able to know before you actually go for the final.
But why only
puzzle caches? This is challenges.
Yeah, this isn't the puzzle cache, Andy.
Huh.
This is a.
All right, you're
this
right.
Is a, so basically, and when Jesse read this, she went. I heard the rant, not you, but she went off on a rant about. So now I got to learn how to code for Project GC, basically as well.
Well, that was what I was thinking. You
wow.
Know,
yeah.
Who's going to be coming up with these challenge checkers, and how do you code them? And I mean,
right. So you got to know C++.
The only one.
Yeah, basically, you got to know C++ to create a checker for you know.
Is that what it's coded in? I don't even know.
I couldn't tell you, but probably, you know, I mean, I couldn't even tell you, but it's something along those lines.
You can go out to Project GC and go to their challenge checkers and look at the ones they have out there and actually download the code and view the
exactly.
code
right.
they have out there. I haven't done it yet, so I don't know what type of code it is or how it works.
Well, Memphis Mafia say, isn't it in Lua? Lua?
Yes.
I don't know what that is.
Yes, it's in Lua.
Oh, let's look at Taz. He knows what it is.
He wrote Lua. Yeah.
Taz invented. Taz created Lua.
Yeah.
So. I did not create Lua. I hate Lua. Lua is one of the worst languages out there.
But basically, you have to know how to code, more or less.
Yeah. Or get somebody to code it for you, which
or
means
get somebody
that Project
to code
GC
for you.
Might be making some money off of this thing.
Wow. And it's. I don't understand. They already learned with Where I Goes what a pain in the butt it was for people to try to figure out just how to figure out to make a cartridge, because it, you know, it took a development mentality to do this, and now have to do this for a challenge.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to allow you to create your own someplace else other than Project GC, or I mean, it says it's the only approved one, so.
Yeah.
Are there any other ones out there right now that are usable for challenges?
I have no idea. Project GC is the only one I know that does that right now.
Right.
But I don't know how it works. If people create their own and you upload them to it, or if
you can
tell them to do it and they do it, I have no idea how it all works.
You can create your own on there. I don't believe it requires it to be linked to a specific cache at this point in time, but most of them are. But you can create checkers out there on their website. So,
give me an example for just so that I understand, and I'm sure there's other people out there going, okay, checking what? What would you check in a challenge that you wouldn't necessarily check, like, say, for the ones that people are more familiar with puzzles?
So if you found 100 traditionals in a day. So there's a quick checker that looks on your profile that goes through and is able to read all your found information to see whether or not you've actually accomplished met the goals of hitting 100 traditionals in a day.
Okay, so you actually, what they're saying then, and it just clicked what you just meant with that. So, because you can actually go on Project GC and just fill in your, you know, let it read your profile, and it will tell you out of the ones that are already in its database what challenges you qualify for.
If you're a premium member, there is a mapping utility that will show you which ones that you already qualify for. If you're not a premium member and you're just wanting to check, you can go drop in the GC number for that particular challenge that you're wanting to check, and it will check it for you on there. And it'll also even print out or kind of list out your qualifications so that you can cut and paste that and drop it into your
web page, description page,
worksheet.
Yeah. Okay. So in a case like this, Project GC, and we're just supposing because I have no information on it whatsoever. So would it be, I can't write this code for the checker. For all the ones that are already in Project GC, somebody wrote them. So for a nominal fee, Project GC is going to write it for you so that you can have it put in? I mean...
That part I don't know. And I read that article last week, kind of skimmed through it, and I was thinking that it only had to be checkable. I didn't think that you had to have a checker written, but maybe, you know, it sounds like I misread that, and I need to go back and read that again.
Yeah, we'll definitely pursue this further on just to make sure things are going.
Because I despise Lua. It's also what where I go cartridges are written in, yeah. By the way.
Yeah. And I think it's ridiculous to expect average Joe to be able to come up with that. I mean, that's something right. That is not, you know, there's only so many developers out there that's going to know how to do this. Right. And to expect the entire population to follow it.
Right.
Yeah, and that was Jesse's rant, was like, so now I got to pay somebody or learn how to write code to do this.
Yeah.
That seems like their way to...
It might spawn a little side business for somebody to do it, to write checkers for people.
But it's also like, it's a way to kind of curb, I think, it's a way to weed out the really crappy ones, you know?
Yeah, if you're not going to put the effort in to do it, yeah.
Right, it's going to take a little extra effort, and it's not going to be for a crappy one, you know?
Now, one thing that I'll say is that... you can access the codes that are out there. So you're trying to do one that another challenge already exists. You could copy their code or copy and modify to tweak it to what you want. So there are some things that makes it a little bit easier for someone who doesn't have the coding experience.
But are they going to have to do in WordPad or something?
Right.
Is there an emulator?
Right. Well, also, Taz, the problem is you're skewed, I'm skewed, Andy's skewed. We all know how to code.
Right.
Right.
You know, we've all coded our entire careers. Yeah, so to us, sure. it's like writing cursive, you know. But you got to remember, somebody who doesn't know how to code, it's like another language, you know.
It is another language.
But, you know, it's very skewed. It's very, yes. very skewed, yeah. our views of it compared to other people's.
So
you know?
It's not as bad as...
coding experience, like most of us do, yeah, it might not be that difficult, but... Like you say, the average Joe out there.
Right.
It's
right.
not as bad as it used to, but I mean, there was a time within 5-7 years ago, people had problems with cut and paste. And as silly as that sounds, they didn't know how to get stuff onto their geocache page because they didn't understand how to do that, or even let alone right. HTML. So, you know, for having an average person to say, okay, well, now you got to write in Lua so that you can do this, and people are going to go, what?
Right. I think the goal, one of the goals was A, to get checkers on them, and B, to weed out probably 2/3 of the people put out.
Oh, yeah. It's going to go like where I go. It is going to go just like where you go, because people aren't going to want to put the effort.
Right. We'll code for geocoins. Unactivated geocoins.
Literally, I think so somebody...
They'll have seminars at events and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody could put out a...
Just like GSAC stuff, you know? I mean, people have GSAC.
You can have a hot code in lieu little event, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, the basics. The basics of lieu.
Yeah. Yeah, Lord help us. All right. Well, there you go.
It's going to be interesting to see what they actually come up with for the final. But
There's got to be more to it than that. I wonder if they're going to give it an icon or not, what the other plans are. That can't be it. That can't just be the answer.
You can't sit there.
No, I think there's more to it.
I don't want this to turn into Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and waiting for a million years to find out it's 42. I mean, that's what it sounds like it's heading for the end of this. Oh, great, so-and-so, tell us how challenges shall now work after waiting for a year, 42. Yeah. All
learn
right.
Learn code, basically.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll see. It's been over a week since the date hit, so pretty much, right? The 21st, that was a date, right?
21st was a date.
Yeah, so almost a week.
Right, so it's been a week. Today's 27th, right?
Yep. Yeah. All day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
It's almost a week. Tomorrow will be a week.
What's up with that?
I know it. It's almost May. All right. Good stuff, guys. Excellent show. Good talk. Jerry, thank you so much for stepping on by. It was excellent. Yeah. Scott, thank you for stepping on by.
Stopping by, really? I live here. Really?
Taz, you're awesome. It was wonderful.
Showing up.
That's it.
I will be here next week, by the way, right?
Excellent. Right? Yes, you're here next week.
Yes.
Yes.
It's an on week for me. On week.
Yay.
Yay.
All right. I got my schedule right here on my little piece of paper that I've written.
Barring any any rainouts, updates, or makeups. I will be here next Wednesday.
Oh, yes. We don't have to worry about the makeups yet.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think it's about time to wrap it up, guys. Thank you so much for stepping on by, and thank you, fine folks, for coming on and listening to us jabber about things that deal with geocaching. We love having you by just as much as we like talking about it. And now I'm still thinking Love Boat in the background. I can't get it out of my head. All right, let's do this. Coochie coochie.
Now, if you were good and quick, the closing music would be the
Love Boat.
Let's see how quick
we're going to
play the outro music, and let's see if it's a Love
Boat. I can hit it there, just not live. Anyways, all right, let's do this thing. Wow. Put me on the spot. What do you think this is, Dobeep? All right. Let's do this thing. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, and Chad Courtney. This show is copyright 2016 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.